7.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Cash may be king, but crypto has entered the ring. President Trump holding a crypto summit at the White House today, meeting with digital currency leaders. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says the president has made crypto a priority for his administration, including creating a U.S. strategic reserve.
President Trump has had a total about-face on this. He used to call Bitcoin a scam. Now he wants to make the U.S., he says, the crypto capital of the planet. He is also, of course, personally invested in this. He launched his own Trump meme coin just a couple of days before the inauguration, and his family businesses benefit when the price of that crypto coin go up.
Employers added 151,000 jobs last month. The Labor Department figures, though, not showing or including federal layoffs announced in February by the Trump administration. Authorities investigating the deaths of Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman and his wife expected to brief the public later today. Both bodies found in their Santa Fe, New Mexico home last week. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A number of U.S. Department of Agriculture workers in Wisconsin have been temporarily reinstated with questions over the legality of their firings. On Wednesday, the Merit Systems Protection Board ordered the agency to reinstate about 6,000 probationary staff members across the country for 45 days. The workers were fired amid efforts to dramatically slash the federal workforce by the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Those workers still have little clarity on their job security after these 45 days. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is calling for increased funding for staffing at the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratories. This week, Attorney General Call and a group of state legislators called for $2.7 million of the state budget to hire for an additional 19 positions in the labs. There are just three crime labs across the state to cover the forensic evidence needs of law enforcement authorities in 72 counties. Officials say they've seen long backlogs in processing evidence, causing lengthy delays in court proceedings for serious cases. Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of Phil Grassman to serve as the new Rusk County Sheriff. According to a press release, Grassman will serve the remainder of Sheriff Jeffrey Wallace's current term, ending in 2027. Sheriff Wallace recently announced his intent to retire and said Grassman will be an excellent replacement. Grassman joined the sheriff's office as a deputy in 2004 and was appointed chief deputy in 2015. He also served as deputy warden of the Wisconsin DNR in Ladysmith from 2007 to 2016. The Washburn County Board of Supervisors is now accepting applications for 2025 alcohol and other drug abuse and use prevention mini-grants. The grant program provides community groups with funding for efforts to develop healthy communities. The county has offered the funding since 1987, and this year there is $10,000 available through the Washburn County Community Alliance for Prevention. Applications for the grant funding can be submitted online, and individual organizations can receive up to $1,000. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A busy weekend in college basketball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Big game tomorrow for Marquette. The Golden Eagles host number 6-ranked St. John's at Fiserv Forum. It's senior day for Marquette. Tip-off time at Fiserv Forum, 11 a.m. In Madison, the Badgers will host Penn State at noon tomorrow at the Kohl Center. The Milwaukee Panthers season came to an end last night at the Clatchy Center after losing to Oakland, 72-64. Milwaukee just 3-for-12 at the foul line. In women's hockey, the number one ranked Badgers women's team are in Minnesota today to take on the Bulldogs in Duluth. It's the first round of the WCHA Final Faceoff Tournament. NFL, Mason Crosby officially retiring today after 16 years as the team's kicker.
I was drafted by the Packers. I got to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, in Titletown. Like, one of the coolest things that has ever happened in my life is to be able to wear that Super Bowl ring, and nobody can ever take that away from us.
That's the Packers' Mason Crosby with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and seasonal today with highs reaching the upper 30s and calm winds. Few clouds build in tonight and early tomorrow morning. We're looking at light snow chances. That winds down by the afternoon, replaced by sunshine and warmth with highs in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 38.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Friday. It's 3 o'clock, and it is time for our segment, Ask Maggie. It's where you, the listeners, can ask me basically anything you want, and I'm constrained to an arbitrary 30 or 60 seconds to attempt an answer, which if you've been listening to me for more than a day, know that that's gosh darn hard for me to do. Yes, this lady can yap. As most lawyers can, I wanted to give a special thanks to Dr. Deepa Berman of the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. We couldn't quite get in her last of the number, the top things to do for good sleep health, given that we're springing forward this Sunday. Don't forget to set your clocks forward when you go to bed on Sunday night. So I fleshed those out. We're going to put them in our show notes today. But before we get to Ask Maggie, I wanted to share the top five. She had five tips for good sleep health, which has an absolutely monumental impact on our overall wellness from babies to adulthood, adolescence, and of course, our folks on the little older end of the scale as well. Here are the top five things. Consistency. Try to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. She said most important is the time that you wake up. So even if you miss your regular bedtime, do try to get yourself up at your consistent same time every day. Shut off the screens 30 to 45 minutes before your desired bedtime. Expose yourself to light. Yes, it can be artificial light. We had a question on the text line from one of our favorite texters, Terry from Cross Plains. Our light box is good. Yes, if you need light in the morning, especially when we're in these winter months, yes, a lot of light exposure first thing when you wake up will help. Again, get your circadian rhythm set. It will help you wake up. Four is try to get a little bit of physical activity in the day so that your body is also tired. And last but not least, try to cut out the light. When it is your bedtime, not just have those screens off 30 to 45 minutes ahead of time. Turn off the lights. Try to reduce the amount of light. Have you ever sat around in your bedroom and looked at the amount of, maybe it's even just things plugged in, not even on, if they've got that little indicator light that it's charging, some of that light in can interrupt your sleep. Maybe look at some blackout shades to really make sure that you have a good darkened bedroom to sleep. And those are the top five tips from our last guest, Dr. Deepa Berman. We're going to have her back because good sleep, we all struggle with it. And I certainly have. I still am not the world's best sleeper, but I'm giving it a good go. I've been getting better. And hopefully I had enough sleep last night so that I'm good and ready for all the questions today, this Friday afternoon, for today's segment of Ask Maggie. I've got my senior producer, Jamie, producer on the board. Cal is going to be running the timer, and we've got all your great questions. Folks, if you want to submit questions for this segment, or for our special Over the Hump and Trump segment, which tends to focus on creativity, connectivity, building bridges. How do we relax together? How do we hang out? How do we play together? You can send Over the Hump and Trump suggestions or concepts and questions for this very segment to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Jamie, I'll let you take it away.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I thought Dr. Berman was perfect because I don't know how many times you and I have been texting each other at like midnight, 1 o'clock when we should actually be sleeping.
We should maybe like hand off responsibility each week.
Right.
Like, Jamie, you're in charge of our sleep hygiene this week, and then I'll do that, and then you do that. Because, we're chronic violators of this rule.
We're horrible. We're horrible. And I also thought it was very appropriate with Professor Herrera, who was talking about Ukraine. I mean, there's a lot of people losing sleep over everything happening in the world right now. So I thought that was fantastic. We've got some really good questions, though, for Ask Maggie today. And again, askmaggie@civicmedia.us is where you can submit your questions. So I'm going through the list, and I promised you we would take it a little easy on you today, right?
Yes.
And so it has been a really long week, so we're going to try. All right. So I think with this one, let's start out with a 60-second bet here, Cal, because this question comes to us from Jeff in Caledonia. And Jeff says, Maggie, what do you say to someone who thinks Trump is doing a great job and that throwing all this stuff is good for everyone in the U.S.? 60 seconds. Are you ready to go, Maggie Dawn? And Cal, you can start the bed.
Very simply, prove it. One of the things that I talk about all the time on the show is how do we actually know that government is working for us or that the elected officials that we voted for or maybe didn't vote for are actually getting it done? Let's look at the data. Let's understand, are these policies actually translating into greater economic success and health for the middle class? I have yet to see one scintilla of evidence to that effect, and I've seen tons of evidence in the opposite direction. Now, of course, some people just not moved by facts and evidence. So I'd ask them fundamentally, are you actually doing any better or not? And by the way, that wall of receipts, bunch of garbage. No actual math there. So many errors. Again, I think we got to look at the facts and dial in to people's natural sense of intuition about whether or not they're doing any better.
Oh, great, right at the buzzer.
Great question, Jeff from Caledonia. Very impressed.
That was a very good. I'm very impressed by you as well. And thank you, Jeff, so much for the question. I mean, you got that in right on time. That was excellent. We've got so many questions here and people are doing an amazing job. All of our listeners are doing an amazing job of submitting these really great questions. So I want to jump into another one here. And this is a really good one from Teresa in Chippewa Falls. And she's going to rely on your lawyer background for just a moment, Maggie.
Because, remember, I can't give any legal advice on the air, so this is not legal advice, but just
a
little legal brain, yes.
That's right, that's right. So just thinking about this, but this is good. Teresa from Chippewa Falls wants to know, is there anything states can do to stop Elon Musk and Doge? Do states have any rights with the way things currently stand? So, Cal, we're going to do another 60 seconds for this particular question, and you hit that button whenever you're ready to go.
This is actually way more complicated than it appears. Indeed, a number of attorneys generals have sued to stop various Doge actions. The challenge in some of those pieces of litigation are whether or not state attorneys general actually have standing to do so. Where a particular federal program, for example, ends up funneling money into a state to conduct either a mandated federal program or a program that is permitted by federal law and it's attached to federal grant funding, if that program is eliminated by Doge's chainsaw and our billionaire overlord, in those situations, states' attorneys general can absolutely bring a lawsuit to try to stop that action because there is an immediate economic and programmatic harm to the people of that state whom the attorneys general represent. But other than that, probably not. That's a tricky one. standing.
It is a tricky one. That's why I gave you 60. That one probably needs a couple of minutes to really work through. But you get that in there nicely. That's impressive.
You know, Jamie, it occurs to me that some of these things deserve maybe a little bit more thoughtfulness from me and us collectively. And for example, you know, how do you, our first question, Jeff from Caledonia, how do you talk with people? You know, the flaw in my answer is, you know, a lot of people just sort of reject evidence and facts and data. Mm-hmm. We should spend some time thinking about, like, hey, how do we have those conversations? Yeah. Not with someone who's never going to be able to have a reasonable conversation, because then you just got to save your oxygen. But hey, if you've got somebody you can talk with, how do you actually engage those conversations? So that's one to grow on. And this question of standing and states suing over Doge is a great one.
You know, while we're at it, you mentioned over the hump and Trump, and if there's things people want you to cover in that and they want to know more about and they want you to dig into that, if you have any of these types of topics that you want us to kind of dig into, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. We will be happy to find the experts to really dig in and, you know, let Maggie do her Maggie thing with this kind of stuff too, right?
And don't worry about if you don't know if it's for over the hump or if it's for Ask Me. We'll figure it out. Put it into one of the segments. It'll all wash out. But definitely always want to hear from you all. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us.
It feels like there's so many complicated topics right now, unless you go into our text line where, again, we're just being told we're blowing things out of proportion and stupid and all of that. We've got a few of those happening over there today, but that's okay. That happens every now and then. But it feels like some of these topics are really... and we don't want to make light of them because they are really heavy topics and they are weighing on a lot of people. So this is just a fun little segment. But if there's anything you ever want us to dive into a little bit more, let us know and we'll be happy to do a segment or a half hour. Or if it's a really big subject, we'll be happy to do an entire hour or maybe a whole show on it with some sort of nice underlying theme. So we are not opposed to taking your suggestions here at the Maggie Dawn Show. Now, we do have a really good question, and this is a really fun one for you. Okay. And poor Dave from New Berlin, he's been waiting for a couple weeks for us to kind of dig into this one. And it's so good. So 30 seconds for this one, Cal. How does Dave convince his wife over in New Berlin that one dryer sheet is enough, Maggie? 30 seconds to answer this.
Okay.
Go.
Dave from New Berlin. My short answer is this. Don't worry about convincing your wife about it. How about you do the damn laundry and then you can put in as many gosh darn dryer sheets as you want to. Otherwise, Dave, if she's doing the laundry and picking how many dryer sheets, I suggest you move on to the more pressing matters of the day. Also, very practically, now I think it's Bounty makes extra large dryer sheets, so maybe you could go that route.
It's a conundrum over in Dave's house over dryer sheets.
Listen, I think you only get to complain about the methodology if you also are contributing to the outcome and work product, right?
Like,
otherwise, yes, you shouldn't be arguing with the wife over the dryer sheets. I like the big extra large dryer sheets personally. I need as much Downy freshness as I can possibly get.
Well, see, and we're one of those families where we have to have the hypoallergenic everything because everybody's got something going on and they're allergic to something or other. So we're that annoying family who looks.
Well, then you're definitely not blowing extra dryer sheets because those hypoallergenic ones are pricey. We're going to have to take care of a little bit of business here, but I'm going to be back with my senior producer, Jamie, and every single one of your questions maybe not all of them this segment, but we'll get to them all eventually. Remember, you can submit your questions at Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. We're going to take care of a couple of quick messages here. We'll be right back with Jamie, Cal on the board, and me and you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Just ask your heart who dreams about you. Just ask your heart who's faithful and true.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. It is Friday, and it is in the 3 o'clock half-hour block. So it is time for Ask Maggie, where you get to ask me basically whatever you want. We can talk dryer sheets or Doge. It is all up to you, as well as my senior producer, Jamie, who helps pick the questions and assign me a given amount of time to answer them. I've been doing pretty well today. Usually I just blow past my time limits. Submit your questions at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Again, that email address is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. What else you got for us this afternoon, Jamie?
I'd rather talk dryer sheets than Doge, quite honestly. But we do have more
Friday,
good questions.
Indeed, indeed.
More good questions, though. All right. So this is a good one. And Cal, we're going to give her 60 seconds on this one. This comes from Jenny in Wisconsin Rapids. And Jenny wants to know if you have any advice for talking to mega Republicans. 60 seconds for Maggie on how do you talk to mega Republicans. Go.
Again, I think we could have a very long discussion about this and perhaps get us some experts on board. But I think where there is a MAGA Republican whom you can actually have a discussion with, one of the more important things is to decide the parameters of the discussion. If we're going to argue about the pros and cons of Biden versus Trump, we're never going to agree. What's the point? If we're going to talk about whether or not what Donald Trump is doing is working, that's one thing. But I think by far the most important approach when you're talking with someone with whom you know you may have a deep political disagreement is to not start with the places of disagreement, but to try to start with the places of agreement. What are the values that we share? Because if we can agree on the values, then we can actually have a more meaningful argument about the how. Meaning, how do we bring those values into fruition? How do we make our values that we agree on the reality in our shared world?
Yeah, absolutely.
Easier said than done, of course.
It is easier said than done. And to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, you're right. It is a longer topic. And here in the next couple of weeks, we have some people who are going to be joining us in different parts of the state who are going to kind of address some of the things that they're seeing from, I hate to lean on what we do on Wednesdays with Greg Gunderson, but from their neck of the woods. So yep. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. You're going to want to join us around the 19th. I'll give that little bug to everybody because I have the calendar in front of me. So I can tell everybody it's around the 19th. We're going to have those conversations. All right. Are we ready for another question? These are really good. You guys are rocking it. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. These are really good questions. This is a great one. And this actually came up today from a texter who is in the 608 listening on WMDX. And this was a conversation from the conversation you had with Professor Herrera just this afternoon. Mm. This texter wants to know, after Biden cut almost all economic ties with Russia, how would Trump impose tariffs on a country that we don't actually trade with? And I know this is another one of those. It's probably going to take a little bit more time to parse out in another point in time. But in 60 seconds, can you give us a general idea? Cal, start the bed whenever you are ready.
So I have to admit that I am not an expert on the various types of sanctions. There's all different sorts of these. Professor Herrera today mentioned blocking sanctions. There are different economic, effectively, penalties where assets are frozen that sit in U.S.-controlled or U.S. ally-controlled bank accounts. There can be asset seizures, which impact the oligarchs that support Vladimir Putin in Russia. But I do not know what was put into place in detail from President Biden and if that has been changed at all. Obviously, Donald Trump, whether he's misinformed or not, thinks that there are additional sanction measures that can be put into place. And the last thing I'll say is we have to distinguish between trading and an economic sanction. Often they'll be related, but they're actually distinct concepts to a certain degree. So I, you know, Jamie, it's an interesting question, and I'll do some research before the next show to look at, hey, what was put in place for Russian sanctions under President Biden? What might Donald Trump actually be talking about, or is he just sort of making up things that don't actually match reality on the ground? I know that there, you know, the Russian oil pipeline is a big deal. We know that one of the inflationary pressures under the Biden administration, for example, was the Ukraine war and the fact that the Russian pipeline was effectively shut down and it was driving up oil prices globally. So, again, I think that's one to unpack. And I will always be happy to admit those areas where I am not an expert and need to spend some time doing a little bit more homework.
Well, I love that, though. But you will do the homework and we will get to the bottom of it and we will figure it out and try to answer some of these questions because we're trying to unpack this way of doing things just like everybody else as we go forward. It doesn't really feel like there's a right answer at this point in time. Now, this is a really good question, and I'm excited for you to answer this today because Barb from the Northwoods emailed me. And she knows that you are an avid lover of games and yes, you love board games. And so she wants to know, Maggie Dawn, what do you think of this new Monopoly game that's taking out the paper money for an app? Have you seen that? It's going to be released in stores very, very soon. Are you gonna, how much time do you think you need on this? Because I know
30
how much
seconds.
Okay. All right, Cal, 30 seconds for her to get into to board games.
Oh, hell no, I don't want to use an app to play a board game. Isn't that the entire freaking point of a board game, that I'm not doing something electronically? And by the way, when I was a kid, didn't you always have one friend who always wanted to be the banker, but you had to watch him like a hawk to be sure that somehow like a 500 wasn't like magically making it into their pile of money? Come on, man. It's also the entire, you learn a little math when you're actually handling the paper. Hell, I will never use an app for Monopoly gameplay. No.
I knew there'd be some passion to that one. I knew it. And I think Barb did too. This is why I don't play board games, though, especially when there's money involved. No, it's just not happening. Not happening.
Oh, great question. Destroying the sanctity of Monopoly with an app. What is the world coming to? Folks, when we come back, I'm going to be joined by my most lovely colleague, Terry Barr, for what's good, local, and overlooked in the state of Wisconsin as we head off into the weekend, hopefully on a positive note. My thanks to my senior producer, Jamie, all of you for your great, great questions. Remember, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. We'll be back with more after your farm update with Pam Yonke right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just as his
heart. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With all the activity in Washington right now, passage of a new farm bill seems to have been pushed to the back burner, but not by NASDA. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and RJ Carney is Senior Director of Public Policy at the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, and he says it's still front and center for them and for ag leadership in Congress. He says another means to move farm initiatives forward is through reconciliation.
We understand since Republicans have control of both chambers of Congress and the White House, they're looking to use a reconciliation bill to move some priorities forward. This is something that both parties have done in previous years, but a reconciliation bill takes a lot of legislative days to ultimately get one across the finish line. So that's going to have to also be attributed and get done here in 2025. We need to see the House and Senate Republicans come together on what that path forward is going to be. They're still underway with discussions in that space.
Once again, that's RJ Carney, Senior Director of Public Policy at NASDA. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Well, hold on to your britches, everybody. It's time to go nuts at the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival. March 8th, you can enjoy deep-fried delicacies along with ice-cold beverages and live music by the Lights Out Band. Join me, the fabulous Farm Babe, along with the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team at Springfield Corners for your chance to win concert tickets and to try some fried Rocky Mountain oysters. It all kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th. Springfield Corners. See Facebook for more details.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 4.69 1/4, up 5 1/4. New crop corn closed at 4.54 1/4, up 3 1/4 cents. Cash beans closed at 10.25, down 2 1/4, and new crop beans closed at 10.25 1/2, up 4 3/4. Cash wheat closed at 5.51 1/4, down 2 3/4, and new crop wheat closed at 5.65 1/2, down 2 1/2 cents. April Class 3 milk contract is trading at 17.23 a hundredweight, that's up 3 cents, and May milk is trading at 17.62, up 7 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 1.63, down 2 1/2. 40-pound block cheese closed at 1.62 1/4, down 1/2. And the AA butter closed at 2.31, up a penny. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper teens. For the weekend, more sunshine than clouds and warmer. High in the mid-40s Saturday, upper 40s Sunday. Dry through most of next week and warm. Lots of 40s and 50s, even some 60s. Currently 40 degrees.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit EWBadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Here's another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK. Ruby's Pantry distribution coming up this Saturday, March 8th. For just a $25 cash donation, you'll get upwards of 50 to 60 pounds of food. This happens in Amory the second Saturday of each month, and this Saturday, 7:30 to 9 a.m., right at SMC Limited on Griffin Street East in Amory. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Friday. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I basically wait all week for Friday at 3:30 because I am joined by my good friend and yours, Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media, for a little segment that we like to call What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin, trying to send everybody off into the weekend with a wee bit of good news. Terry, welcome back to the show. Thanks for making time.
Absolutely, Maggie. Here for you and everyone to try to, as you said, tell you something good. How about that?
Yes, indeed. So what good things do you have to share with us this afternoon?
How do you feel about a nap?
Oh, I need a nap. We just had a sleep expert on today. I think everybody should get nap time. We're all, frankly, sleep deprived. Tell me more about naps.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, 80% of adults say they've taken at least one nap in the last 3 months. I kind of don't believe that number, but hey, it's from a survey. I think it's higher than that. And of course, you probably talked about daylight saving time on Sunday. So there goes that hour that we would like to keep,
yep,
right? But appropriately, the day after on Monday, it's that nice unofficial holiday called National Napping Day. I love this.
That's fabulous. I didn't know there was such a thing.
I talked with Dr. Stephen Gale. He is a sleep expert as well. He is from Prevea Health in Northeast Wisconsin, and he knows a lot about napping. He works with a lot of patients on napping and sleep and just trying to get your body back in some kind of a circadian rhythm. So here is what he tells me about napping.
Napping is a very interesting thing. I have a hard time separating napping from our normal sleep. When you look at the amount of sleep we get at night, ideally we shoot for about 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Many of us fall dramatically short of that, unfortunately. When that happens, you know, we build up sleep debt. We fall behind in our sleep. And naps can be a useful way to catch back up on that rejuvenating sleep. There's been some data that's shown over time, relatively short duration nap, 20, 30 minutes at most, can actually be quite beneficial in people for feeling more rested and rejuvenated to get through your day. And some studies have shown some benefits in terms of cardiovascular health long term, which is a wonderful thing for those that like to get a little afternoon siesta.
I'm all for
it. I'll take an afternoon siesta at any time.
I am all for it. Listen, when I was lucky enough to do a little studying abroad when I was in college, the happiest people that I came across were Spaniards and Italians, and they were literally businesses 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. They'd open back up at 6 o'clock, but they were closed in the afternoon. Everybody took a little break. I'm all for very happy. Very happy people.
How have we not learned at this point? And do you know, now you sort of mentioned it, Maggie, but do you know the perfect time if you're going to take a nap? There's an ultimate time to do it. Do you know what it is?
I hope it's not between the hours of 2 and 4 p.m. because everybody needs to be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show.
I'm sorry.
It's 2
to 3.
It's 2 to... Dang! Dang! 2 to 3 p.m.
Well, you know, maybe they'll lay down and put some earbuds in and listen to your soothing voice.
Yeah, but some days soothing, other days hair on fire, excited Maggie, if I could speak about myself in the third person. That doesn't surprise me, though, the 2 to 3 p.m. slot. It's kind of when we all get the afternoon nods.
Absolutely. And again, he said 20 to 30 minutes. So I'm just going to say, enjoy that unofficial holiday on Monday and take a nap. Don't feel bad about it. And if you want to read more or you want to hear that entire interview that I did with the doctor, it's on our website right now at civicmedia.us.
I love that, Terry. I have to share with you and everybody that's listening at home or on the road, I was a litigator for many years, and it is a very, very not sleep oriented kind of job. When you're ramping up for trials, you will pull multiple all nighters. The longest I was ever awake was 50 hours, which was like, I thought I was kind of losing my mind. I say all of this to say, because I was generally working around 12 hours, that was like an average day. I would be in the office for about 12 to 13 hours. Other days longer than that. But what ended up happening, particularly in extremely busy periods of time where also my sleep was getting disrupted because I should ask this witness this question on cross-exam. I better wake up and write that down. I slept with a notepad next to my bed. But what I ended up having to do was exactly what you're talking about. I had to take about a 20-minute nap on some days when I could feel that my brain was not working.
Yeah.
And I would ask one of my colleagues or one of the paralegals, someone, hey, are you going to be around? I would literally, like a child, I wouldn't even lay down. I'd just sit at my desk, put my head down on my desk, and I'd knock out. I could fall. It's like, that's how tired I was. And then folks would come in and wake me up 20 minutes later. It was a lifesaver in many regards just to get that small little tiny brain rejuvenation break.
Well, and you heard the doctor say that even that little break like you were taking, that can be good for your physical health, your mental health, and you don't think about how everything really does tie together. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I wish it was more of a part of our culture. I know, like in Japan, you can rent out space in businesses, basically sell rented space for napping in the middle of the day. It would be so, I think, helpful to our overall wellness if we accommodated this more in our workplaces. I really appreciate the story, especially as we spring forward, folks. Do not forget, set your clocks an hour ahead when you go to bed on Sunday night and probably try to start adjusting, as these experts would tell you, a little bit before then. Maybe get up a little earlier tomorrow and Sunday morning.
No, good luck with that.
Yeah, on the weekend. Boo. What else you got for us, Terry?
Well, I want to talk to you about something that I know is near and dear to our hearts and hopefully many other people as well. You know, we're doing a series of stories on the air about Wisconsin trailblazers for Women's History Month. And you just did a story about Trisha Zunker. Trisha is a current Ho-Chunk leader. She is a justice on the court there. And I love that she's from the Wausau area and the first Native American to run for Congress. But in doing this research, Maggie, here's one of my favorite stories. Tell me if you've heard about her before, because I had not. So I'm so glad I know about her now. Dickie Chappelle from Milwaukee, one of the first female war correspondents. And this was during World War II and Korea. Her editors, she worked for both Life magazine and National Geographic. They called her one of the most respected reporters of her time. She was 40 when she came back to Wisconsin to learn how to parachute. So guess why she did this? This is amazing. She again makes history because she's the first woman asked by the Pentagon to, now that she knows how to parachute, she's going to jump into combat with our American troops to report on it. Here's where I get bummed out, because all the amazing things she did, she ends up on an assignment in Vietnam. It's 1965. And of course, as we've heard in our history of the Vietnam War, she ended up dying when she stepped on a landmine while, again, on assignment. And again, makes history. She is the first journalist, whether male or female, to die in action. Wow. I don't care. What an inspiring story. I have goosebumps just talking about her.
Absolutely, Terry. Can you tell us more about where we can find your reporting and summaries of some of these remarkable women in Wisconsin history?
Absolutely. Listen for them on air all month long. We've got about 6 to 8 different stories of these Wisconsin women that will be rotating on all of the Civic Media radio network stations. So listen there, because it's fun to hear it that way. But you can also find a write-up, you know, just a small write-up, just to give you a flair for what these women were about and are still about, and what they bring to the history and why they've made such a difference for all of us in Wisconsin. That, again, on the website, civicmedia.us.
Are you doing anything special to celebrate Women's History Month personally, Terry? I always make an effort to basically get together with some of my female friends that I think in their own right and in their own ways are helping to make history. We usually do a ladies brunch sometime in the month of March. That's my way of saying thanks and celebrating women who I often think don't get nearly enough credit for the impact that they're having.
Oh, I love that idea. I may borrow your idea and see if I can do the same. I've got some friends that, without them in my life and the ways they've inspired me and so many others, and you kind of forget to say thank you for that. And I love what you're doing. Doing a brunch to celebrate sounds perfect.
Well, and it's also, I think, as women, there are so many that get overlooked that are in ways quiet leaders, quieter contributors, that are getting things done in large communities and small ones, and trying to take those moments to be together, especially the women who, I think there's so many in every community that have these massive impacts, but aren't the elected officials, right? Don't get all of the sort of high visibility praise that we need to elevate and lift up. I'll call out one right now, as long as we're talking about it. Her name's Kathleen Wojcik. She is a music teacher and help leads a group of young people in a small organization called Music Makers. I was in Music Makers when I was in grade school. They've been around for that long. And Kathleen has always worked in public schools, teaching music, bringing kids from all different kinds of backgrounds together, sharing her love of music. She's a multi-instrument musician herself. And people that help to stand up where we don't see as much funding in our public schools going to music programs. So I just want to give a hat tip to my good friend, whom I've known for many years, Kathleen Wojcik.
May I do the same?
Please, Terry.
I just found out last night, the first female news director I had when I worked in Green Bay many, many years ago is retiring after 30 plus years as a very fearless leader. And if you can consider, you know, back 30 years ago, there were a lot of men at the helm, and she was not afraid to take control. She also led us through the change of, we were an NBC station that became one of the first Fox affiliates, but there wasn't a national Fox. Nobody knew what this Fox thing was, but we had the Packers. So that's all anybody cared. And I'm so proud to have said that I worked with her. I worked for her. And I was excited to see that she's retiring and has all these plans already. So congratulations, Julie Beeler. You have made such a difference for so many journalists.
What I'd say, news directors in general, even these days, overwhelmingly male, being in media for the first time as my full-time profession it's still very male dominated. And so to you and my senior producer, Jamie, and so many women across this industry and within our own company here at Civic Media that have helped lay the foundation for someone like me in a second phase of my career to enter the field, and the support that you and Jamie and all of the women who have come before us in media, I wouldn't be here without you. So thanks to you, Terry, you're a history maker in your own right. I appreciate you.
And same to you.
Folks, we'll be right back with some final thoughts on the week. You want to share anything? Maybe lift up a historic woman that might not get the credit that she deserves? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the groundbreaking achievements of Elizabeth Bayard. She defied the odds to become the first female journalist in Northeast Wisconsin. It was the mid-1800s. Bayard was considered a trusted voice as she wrote about the developing area of the territory known as Green Bay. Her reporting revealed the stories of women and families, offering a fresh perspective in a male-dominated press at that time. Perseverance, passion, and breaking barriers, Bayard is a part of Green Bay and Wisconsin history, and a symbol of the progress women continue to make every day. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Lisa Hale.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold 'em. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round. Stick around. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Ooh. Come throw some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a hey. Come take it to the floor now. Woo!
It's Friday! Woo! Finally! We got there, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just had my colleague and friend Terry Barr on this past segment. You can find her every Friday at 3:30 for a little segment we call What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in the State of Wisconsin. She ended by celebrating Women's History Month with a couple of people who were very meaningful to her, a historic Wisconsin woman, as well as a woman who inspired her. Folks, if you have women in your life that you know have made a big impact on your community, especially those women who may not get the credit that they deserve, might not be the ones grabbing the headlines, please let us know who they are. Share your story about the amazing women that you know in your communities at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I am working on a special program with my senior producer, Jamie, to celebrate Women's History Month, and we would love to include some of the powerful, impactful women, again, that don't get nearly enough of the credit that they deserve. So please share stories about the women that you know in your communities, maybe in your family, women that have helped impact your life in a positive way with Jamie and I. And we will be happy to share some of those stories on a special upcoming episode of the Maggie Dawn Show to celebrate Women's History Month. Again, you can send those stories in at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That email address again is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Well, folks, I am pretty excited. We got more Brewers spring training coming up this weekend. That is certainly front of mind for me. We've got big Badger hockey games this weekend. Let's see. I want to share with you where you can find those games. This afternoon, Friday, March 7th, we've got Wisconsin playing Ohio State. That's a 5:30 p.m. start. You can find that game on Civic Media's very own WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And don't worry, if you don't live in the Wisconsin Rapids area, all you need to do is go download the Civic Media app, and you can click WFHR and listen to the Badgers hockey game off of the app. I know I have it. I take it everywhere I go, and often will use the app to ensure that I've got crystal clear Civic Media available to me, whatever I might be doing. And this Saturday, March 8th, we've got the Brewers at the Los Angeles Angels spring training. This is a 2 p.m. broadcast start. We've got it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WBZH in Hayward. This is our newest Civic Media Brewers affiliate. I think we've now have maybe six of them total. I'm so excited. I love watching the baseball. It is my way to relax in the spring. I know the warm weather is coming when I can see the baseball games on the television. Thank goodness. And if that wasn't enough sports coverage for you sports fans out there, on Saturday, we also have men's basketball. Wisconsin playing one of our arch nemesis, Penn State. That's an 11 a.m. broadcast start. WLAK in Amory's got it. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. RJN in Racine and Kenosha and RCE in Richland Center. Wanted to end with a very short story about Penn State. I played at Penn State in the national championship rugby game that we won back when I was in college at Marquette. And I got to see Penn State rugby facilities. Now, keep in mind, we were selling brownies so that everyone on our squad could afford their plane tickets to get to the national championship. I was like Dorothy arriving in Oz when I got to Penn State and saw their rugby facilities. First of all, they had like a training room, beautiful locker rooms, specifically for their women's rugby team. They had a separate men's rugby locker room facility. I, again, thought I was in stinking Oz. It was so beautiful. And an actual rugby stadium. Turns out, as we were selling brownies to make plane ticket money to get to the national championship, Penn State was sitting on a rugby endowment for their program. Wow. Talk about being green with envy. That was certainly me, but we had made it there. And as a testament to facilities not equaling the quality of the program or outcomes, again, we were able to squeak out that national championship an embarrassing number of years ago. It was in 1997. Please do not age me on the air. I'll go ahead and do it. 48 years old. That was such a fun time. Beautiful facility at Penn State. But the best part about it was that the Penn State women's rugby team might have hosted us for a little gathering after our games that weekend in their, it was like a mansion of a house that these women lived in. And here's the funny part, folks. I'll share this little bit of the story with you as we head off into the weekend. There was a men's fraternity across the street, and they had a sorority date party. So very, very fancy, very nicely attired folks. Well, happy to report that the men at the fraternity party left said party to come hang out with all of the amazing rugby women from the Penn State women team and the Marquette women's team. We were a lot more fun. Many of us, I'd like to say, pretty good looking, too, even in our rugby kits. We're going to leave it there, folks. I hope you have a beautiful weekend. You've been listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Dom Salvi is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Don't be a, come take it to the floor now.
Take it to the flow now, ooh.
Hoops, spurs, boots.
To the flow now, ooh.
Tank, bank, pulse. Shoot.
Come take it to the flow now, ooh.
And I'll be damned if I cannot dance with you. Baby, pour that sugar and liquor on me too.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, can the House GOP use their mandate to pass a clean funding bill? And remember when Senator Rick Scott took the fifth 75 times when his company was fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud? He has new thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us. Or you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In New Mexico, officials at a briefing releasing the cause of deaths for actor Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy after their bodies were found in their Santa Fe home last week. New Mexico Chief Medical Investigator Dr. Heather Jarrell.
The cause of death for Mr. Gene Hackman, aged 95 years, is hypertensive and atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, with Alzheimer's disease as a significant contributory factor.
Dr. Jarrell says his wife Betsy died from hantavirus, pulmonary virus naturally found in mice. Authorities say after reviewing records and cameras in the home, both died on different days. The jobs report for February from the Labor Department showing 151,000 jobs added last month, slightly higher than in January, but missing economists' projections. A quick-moving winter storm stretching from the Midwest to the East Coast, and avalanche concerns remain in the Colorado Rockies. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.